I noticed that we are getting, I mean, 7 years in, we're getting really good at that countdown.
Yeah.
In terms of syncing, I don't know if the show is any good. In fact, I know it isn't, but it is very well synced.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, that is good.
Let's advertise that. Best synced podcast on the net.
A lot of people are using other... We should just end on what you said. I don't know where I was going with that.
A lot of people make a lot of claims, but I don't think anyone claims best synced podcast.
Best synced podcast. That's got our new tagline. That's in the new t-shirts.
Awesome.
Hello and welcome to episode 363 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam Van City.
What day is it? What is this? This is airing... I was at the Christmas market yesterday.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. Not the one in Vancouver.
No.
The one in Germany.
The one in Germany, yeah, that one.
Yeah, you know, the one in Tübingen.
No, I'm assuming. Okay,
I thought there's like eight in Tübingen.
There's no, one in Tübingen only.
Okay,
and it's good though. It's a good one, and we work at it. Our baseball team has a booth. We sell the glue vine.
Oh, I thought it was a dunk tank.
Have you? Hey, that's a great idea.
Great idea, yeah.
Yeah, you just fall down, hit your head in the ice. Awesome, got him. Well, you've been to the Vancouver Christmas market, right?
Yes, went last year.
Did you go? That was at the new location too. Like they now have it down at the Olympic Flame, right?
Yep.
And
it's very formulaic is what I want to say.
It is a little bit.
Yeah, there's a cool beer garden at the back, and that's very busy. And then the rest are kind of. Very kiosky. I mean, there's cool stuff.
That's what Christmas markets are, though.
Yeah, but it's almost too new, too nice. Like, they have these little wooden, they're supposed to look like little kind of wood cabin sort of setups where, I guess at the end of the day, each retailer, or whatever you want to call them, they can lock it up and keep everything kind of safe. In their sort of contained little trailer type thingy. And so they're all around there, and they're meant to kind of look a little old and rustic, except for they're super new and modern. Like it is what it is. There's lots of cool handmade stuff that's too expensive. And, it's neat to wander around. I still like going. I imagine we'll probably try to go this year. And wander around for an hour or so. But it is, it's just one of those things you do in Vancouver during the holidays.
And it's relatively new, the last 6 years probably, maybe.
Is that it? Is that all it's been?
Maybe eight years. I don't know. It used to be over by the Queenie Theater, right, in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And I went there with my wife 1 year, the first year it was on, or the first year that we were here for it, or there for it. And just for fun, I mean, because first of all, they charge admission, which is an odd kind of concept for us, because you don't do that here. Obviously, they're everywhere. You just roll up, and just walk around. It's in town. It's not cordoned off like in Vancouver. It's cordoned off. I guess partially for the liquor laws, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. See, in Germany, that doesn't exist. You can just it's free reign. You can go nuts. So we went. It was okay. I think we balked at a little bit at the merry-go-round there, the carousel.
Yeah, which they charge an additional fee on top of the admission to get in.
Right, and it wasn't like it was cheap. So over here they have one, and I think it's a euro or something like that to ride, and or by donation usually, and then maybe a buck. I don't know. I don't really know. What am I, the authority on European carousels? You've come to the wrong place, my friend.
Okay.
But anyway, so I think it was like $6 or something.
Yeah,
in Vancouver.
I think that's what it was, and I was like, yeah, we're not doing it.
Yeah, yeah, I can just run around in circles and throw up. Thank you. I'm all set here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, although if you do go, did you try the Glühwein, the mulled wine? Do they call it Glühwein?
I did not, and I'm not sure if that's what they called it.
Definitely give that a go. It's mulled. It's hot spiced wine,
which sounds awesome.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
It can be awful and as we say in Germany, Kopfschmerzensaft, headache juice. Okay. You don't want that. Shy away from the headache juice, and get the good stuff. Get like the Christkindl, like you know, the Nürnberger or something like that. That's what you want to get.
Okay.
Check it out. What's going on, Adam? Amazon. Get your Glühwein on Amazon.
Sure.
Do they sell that on? They can't.
No, I don't believe there's alcohol on the Canadian one. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's no alcohol.
I feel like that's where Bezos is going to go.
It's got to be, right?
He's got to be. He is. He runs it, right? He runs the whole world.
He's the
economy.
Biggest shareholder, anyways. So.
Do you know? Unrelated to that, just off the, I don't even know why I'm bringing. You know what? You should have got me for my wedding instead of nothing.
Stock in Amazon?
No. You should have bought me, loaned me. I would have paid you back, like now, $1,000 of Bitcoin at my wedding.
Yeah, that would also be good.
Do you know what if not even at my wedding, I don't know if you could buy it when I got married, but the year after you could.
Okay.
If you had bought $1,000 worth of Bitcoin that year.
Yeah.
2010, say.
Yeah.
Do you know how much money it'd be worth today?
Is it like 2,000% increase, something
you
ridiculous?
You would have your $1,000 would be around $150 million.
Yeah, that is insane. Yeah, that's insane. Yeah. But now, because
I had...
Do you know
how good this podcast would be if I had $150 million?
Yeah, that'd be pretty good. I mean, you'd probably have a different co-host, probably, I'm guessing.
Cheryl Teagues.
Okay. Okay. But... Now the question is it too late? Like, is now the time that you would invest in Bitcoin?
No.
Would you miss the boat, right?
Oh, no, because your $150 million will be worth $1,000 pretty soon.
Yeah.
No, even if it doesn't. Like, let's say it doesn't crash. Like, it went up, it's gone up, it was $2,500 earlier this year. It went up to when we're recording this, it went up to $11,000. So four times your money is still pretty awesome.
Pretty awesome in a year, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, not... $1,000 to $150 million is better. I would wait. I would wait the extra time for that.
Right.
But so let's say now it's going to go from $11,000. Let's say it goes to $12,000. So even then, like 9% on your money, still pretty good. 91.91%. 9.2% for splitting hairs. Right.
Okay.
So you get 9.2. That's still decent, but it's high risk, low reward. Relatively speaking. So don't buy Bitcoin now.
Okay.
I say that. It'll go up to 40,000 and then I'll feel like a jerk.
Yeah, I know. But it's going to crash at some point. So now it's where it gets a little risky as far as jumping in now. Yeah.
Yeah. So dear night 2010 me, buy Bitcoin. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm pretty sure Biff Tannen is doing that right now with his almanac.
Yeah, I get the reference. It's just not that funny.
Wasn't suggesting it was funny. I'm saying he's probably doing it right now.
When you get the crickets, sometimes it's because I don't get the reference.
Usually.
Not the case this time.
No, he got it.
Back to the Future.
2.
Well, he's in the first one, too.
Yeah. Now who's not funny? Ha, ha, ha. I feel like you've really blown this episode.
I ruined the podcast. This is why if you had more money, you could just hire another co-host.
Yeah, Cheryl Teagues. if you
still
do
going with her, still going with Cheryl.
Speaking of time machines, that's what you'd need.
Yeah.
All right, so get on Amazon, click through our site, and help us out. What's going on, Adam?
Nothing's going on.
I got my son's having a birthday party.
Okay. It's his birthday. Yeah.
So he's having his birthday party, and he wants an astronaut theme.
Okay.
Which I'm going to do. I'm a fan. I was an astronaut fan when I was a kid.
Okay, wait a second. I think I've got the answer.
Okay.
Costco, they must have that in Germany, right?
Mm-mm.
Whole bunch of rolls of tinfoil, and then just, here you go, wrap each other in tinfoil, astronauts.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
Or it could be a Wizard of Oz Tin Man party. Same thing.
Yes, that's what it could be. Yeah, we're not doing a robot party. We're doing astronauts. And so
okay.
The point is generally, like, I don't know if you still do it, but I mean, generally when you have the birthday party with the kids, there's sort of a, because you're a photographer, there's a photography sort of angle to it.
Sure.
So yeah. Last few years, I generally what I'll do is normally I'll do like a photo booth where I'll snap four photos of, you know, like, say it's my daughter's birthday, I'll snap one of her with each of her friends, like a series of four, and get the strips made up, and the kids go home with them in their grab bag.
Okay.
Something like that. Then last year I said, I don't really want to do the four anymore, so you just get one. Here you go. Sure. Here's a full sizer. Move on with your day. And so now it's my son, so I'm going to do the same, you know, try to get them to do the photos. But I'm kind of halfway considering downloading some sort of a thing off the internet, like a photo, and photoshopping their faces into like an astronaut, like them on the moon or something.
Yeah, that's awesome.
No?
No, it is awesome. I did this with my kids maybe a year ago. There's an app. I'm just looking on my phone. It's just called Green Screen, and it's my wife told me about it because they use it in some of the schools to do green screen stuff.
Uh-huh.
And if you either just throw up a green screen or you use a green, or I'm sure it would work with a blue wall, and you basically just shoot with the phone or an iPad or whatever that has this app downloaded, as long as you're using continuous light, and you can it will basically, you choose, you can pull any picture off the internet, so you could pick an outer space picture or Saturn in the background, whatever you want, and then you just basically slide that in as your background, and it immediately, when you snap the photo, so even on your iPhone, if you put a couple of continuous lights up to light the photo, you will get fantastic photos that you can just, as you're going, just email or text to parents when the kid's on their way out of the party. So There's no editing, there's no pulling it. It's doing all of that grunt
work
for
you. But they're in their t-shirts on the moon, though.
That's fine. Why, so, they can't be in their t-shirt on the moon?
No, that's physically impossible.
Well, why don't you get them a spacesuit then, and then just put them in the spacesuit? Like, just call NASA.
Well, when they fake the moon landings, they got spacesuits. That's all I'm saying.
Sure. I'm sure on Amazon you can get yourself a kid's spacesuit for under $2,000.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be fully functioning. It just has to appear like photorealistic.
All right. Well, you're going the extra mile. I would just take them a picture. Yeah. Maybe make like a fake – you have a hockey helmet, right? Maybe you make them a fake space helmet, and then they put the space helmet on in their t-shirt, and then they go on the moon.
That's not bad.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm not doing it.
I'm going to pull this app right now as we're talking. It's called Green Screen by Do Ink, and it is super easy. You can do video with it, and you can do photos with it. So not a sponsor, but Green Screen by, it looks like Doink, but I think it's Do Ink.
Do Ink.
Yeah, super easy to use, and actually did a really stellar job at pulling the background as you're looking at the photo. So you just hit snap and then boom, you're done. That could not be easier for a birthday party.
Monthly photo challenge for
you're not into it. I'm
probably going to download a background and cut the faces out of it.
Oh my god.
And then I can just quickly punch them in. Like, once the faces are cut out, then I can just drop them in into the space helmet. And so they're doing like a space walk or something good. Not like the t-shirts in outer space. That's not believable.
Okay.
A four-year-old piloting the space suit, that's believable.
Right. And the best part is that they'll be like, oh my god, I didn't even know that you guys actually went into space
for
that party.
How long was this party? Well, yeah, we traveled the speed of light. So there was a little bit of time travel involved.
Right.
Did you see that Matthew McConaughey movie where he's hiding behind the bookshelf?
Did you see that one?
Yeah. That was very confusing, that one. When I was done with that, I wish I hadn't seen it.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like that. All right. Who wants a hot dog? Monthly photo challenge for December.
Yeah.
It is. It still is because it's still December. I forget. It's holiday, right?
Yeah.
Because I wrote something else down here, but it's way off. It's holidays or holidays. It could be Madonna, for all I care.
There's more than one of them.
Yeah, that's the point. I'm trying to be inclusive here.
Right.
So monthly photo challenge. Hashtag that two hosers monthly challenge.
And we're trying to get more than 15.
Oh, we're trying to get more than 7.
So if you're on the fence about whether you're going to do it or not, I suggest doing it.
Yes. Okay. I'm trying to think of something way that we can guarantee Adam won't make fun of you, but we can't do that.
No, I'm going to.
Yeah, you should do it. Do it. Do it to get. It's like when Don Rickles rips on you a little bit.
Yeah, it's exactly like that.
What I'm saying is, submit your photo. Adam will call you a hockey puck. Okay.
Sure.
All right. Did you shoot anything interesting since we talked 4 minutes ago?
No.
No, me neither. I'm hoping. I don't know this for sure. I'm hoping I shot some street stuff in and around tubing and though with my camera.
Now you're pot committed.
Yeah, I'm not going to post them though.
Okay.
I've already done up the blog post for this.
Okay.
And did not include them. But that's kind of one of the things I want to kind of go shoot around the interesting the streets of tubing in. Terrible sequel to the Michael Douglas Carl Malden series. Crickets again. Okay, good.
Yeah. Sure.
Good. Just keeping me on my toes. Got to work hard here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Here I am. Here I am thinking I'm Brian Regan, but really I'm Carrot Top. That's awesome.
Yes. Yes. See that? I get.
No, it's good. I was struggling because my initial go to comedian was he's persona non grata right now. All right. Photo challenge.
Yes.
One light photo.
Portrait.
Yeah, but I wrote down photo. I meant to write portrait. I wrote photo.
Okay.
So. One light portrait. Starts with the P. It was a one light portrait. Why? Why was it one? Well, let's talk about that that's the topic this week anyway. So let's get into the photos. Do you want to go first or second? I'm giving you the choice this week.
I'm going to go first.
All right. Let's have a look at, what are we calling this one?
Awesome.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was Slight Crybaby looking up. Is that not it?
I like that title.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little wordy, but otherwise really spot on. Yeah.
It's a little mealy mouth. Yeah. It's true. It's true. No, what's going on here?
This is, I've got to come up with a photo quickly again. That seems to be the theme for me. And nobody is at home, and I have to do this. So you talked about a few weeks back about, you know, the features on your fancy new camera and the Wi-Fi and the being able to use your phone. And the light went off in my head. Oh, yeah, my 6D can do all that. I just haven't used that function in a while.
The 6D has the Wi-Fi?
Yeah, it has the built-in Wi-Fi. So, cool. So I thought, hey, I'm gonna use that rather than trying to pre-focus and run in, and you know, especially if I shoot with a shallow depth of field, it becomes very hard to get focused where I want it. So I got the cell phone out and I set up my one light. So I have I'm using just a speed light in the small soft box that we both own, the Cheetah Stand one.
Oh, nice.
And I've got it gridded because I'm in my bedroom and I really want the background.
Wait, how did you grid the small one?
I have a grid. It came with a grid.
The tiny little one.
Not the tiny little one.
I thought you were talking about the little one.
Okay, I said cheetah stand, man. I said cheetah stand.
Yeah, I wasn't listening.
So the medium one, whatever you want to call it. I have a giant softbox, so in my mind that's the small softbox. But yeah, you're right. There's a very, very small softbox.
Yeah, okay. Which okay, I was so, I was impressed how you got this kind of result out of that small softbox.
No.
Carry on.
So I gridded that, and then I feathered the light in front of me because I want the background to really fall off to black. So I'm doing this in a pretty tight space. I got the 85 mil camera up on a tripod, and I've got this one light that's straight up over my head. So I'm going for a very dramatic looking shot, and I want it to fall off to black. So it's right up over my head, but maybe 2 feet in front of me with the grid, so all the light's going to basically land in front of me. Maybe a little bit's going to hit me.
So you're catching the edge.
I'm catching the edge, exactly. And then I've got my cell phone out because I think I've got this 85, like 2.8, so there's going to be not a lot of wiggle room as far as getting focus is concerned. Mm-hmm. So I basically set myself up, use the iPhone and the Canon app to focus it on my eye, and then just try to stay really still. And then I usually hit the shutter, gave it a 2 second delay just so I can get my phone away from my face, and then boom, take the shot. So I tried maybe 10 times different poses. Some I'm looking at the camera, in this case I'm looking up, and I liked it being different, looking up and away as opposed to looking right at the camera. So the results of the ones looking right at the camera are fine, but this struck me as something different. So mm-hmm. I like different, and I liked how, believe it or not, I think everyone always thinks when they take photos of themselves that they kind of want to give themselves or look the most pleasing way they can. In this case, I kind of liked the dark circles under my eyes as adding drama to the photo, and I just like that. Just in the angle of where my glasses were and how dark and under, like, it sort of looks a little tired, a little weary, and I liked it better in black and white for the dramatic fall off in the background. And yeah, so I chose a photo that I might not otherwise normally have chosen just because I thought it was different looking.
Mm-hmm. I don't think the things under the eyes really even caught my attention, so you know, all good. No reflection in the glasses either.
I know, and no photoshopping here whatsoever. This is boom, out of camera, done. Mm-hmm. This is nothing special here.
And so on the remote, like, you get to look through, like, you see on the iPad or the iPod, what, or iPhone or whatever you're on.
Yeah,
you can see what the camera sees.
Yeah.
So same. I mean, I understand my fancy new camera didn't invent that. It's just the first time I've used it.
Yeah.
It's kind of awesome.
Well, and even too, I mean, even though, because I'm using off-camera flash and my ISO is set to like whatever it is, 125 or 150, the camera normally wouldn't be able to see almost anything, right? Because mm-hmm. it's going to be black. But as soon as I hit autofocus, it has the funky little feature of it brightens up the whole image. Not that that's going to be the way it takes the photo, but right. just so it can see and do focus. Because before I would have thought, oh, I have to slide the ISO all the way to like 5,000, and then I have to slide it back once I get focus to take the photo. No, it kind of does the math on that and just does kind of a little move where it shows me in light, and then when I take the photo, it just goes to how it would normally expose.
So is this like a live, like a version of live view?
It is live view, yeah. It is live view.
So you have to use it in live view then?
I don't know if you have to, but that's what I was doing.
Okay. That makes sense because, like, with the, well, the same, I believe it's the same with the 6D, but the 5D Mark II and up, it's you shoot video in essentially live mode, so you can choose. Do you want to have it stills only or movie? And so movie is essentially, you know, it shows you the exposure. While you're shooting, it shows you the exposure you're going to see. Whereas right. with regular stills live view, it does not. It always brightens it up so that you can get focus. And then when it goes and takes the picture, that's the exposure. And so you could be looking through it thinking, oh, I'm all dialed in, take it, and it's really dark. But right. you should know what you're doing. Is the idea. So that makes sense to me that this would then operate that way in the live view mode. Not that we take a lot of selfies, but it's pretty awesome when you have to.
Yeah, this is so much easier than my previous version, which I don't think I could have shot on this aperture. Like, I just don't think I could do it.
What's your previous mode? What's your previous move?
Is basically stick something in there, maybe a light stand.
Yep.
put a 10-second timer on it, focus on the light stand, and then try to line my eyes up exactly where I – and again, and just hope for the best, and then try it 48 times. Yeah.
I laugh because that's my old move as well. Now, I don't have the Wi-Fi on the 5D Mark II, which I would use for some stuff, but it does it's on the X100, and it's a pretty great feature. You know, and I can imagine I might even use it, you know, even if I'm not in the picture, I can still see myself using it just to avoid any camera shake whatsoever, which you're not going to get on a tripod or whatever, you know, with this camera anyways, but it's still pretty handy, pretty cool little feature.
Well, and even if you're going to do a family group shot around the holidays, and mm-hmm. so you're standing in there, this is just as good. Like, I don't need my remote. Like, I don't need to plug in a remote. Plus, the added bonus of kind of just setting up the composition just how you want it for when I put the timer. I can see, okay, this is pretty much exactly what the camera's seeing. Mm-hmm. So I can line everything up from where I stand rather than, again, worrying about it as I run into my spot.
So that's the cool part of the technology. But now getting back to the one light part.
Okay.
Why the one light? Was it strictly because of the challenge, or would you normally light something like this?
I think that when I do this, I'm reminded of the fact that you can get a good result and it is super simple. So you're controlling one variable and you can see that you don't, in this case, like if I'm just doing a headshot like this, I don't need more lights than this.
No.
But my instinct is always to grab two or three. And again, I'm going to put a hair light here and I'm going to light the background here. And I have that tendency of kind of overcomplicating things because I think I can do more and I can adapt more if I don't like what I initially have. But one light is so awesome because it just forces you to kind of work within that constraint. And I find that it probably makes you a better photographer when you actually think about it, when you just have that one light. Okay, how can I change it and manipulate it to get my result? You can work much, much more quickly as well. So it's the one light thing is something we always say, oh, we should do more of that. And then I end up bringing two or three lights just because.
Uh-huh.
But I really, really need to do more with one light. So
I also like that when you make a mistake with one light, you tend to be able to fix it quickly.
Yes, yes.
Because how many times have you just been futzing around with like three lights and you change this, and then once that happens, then the whole, well, that one that needs to be changed, and it just turns into a mess.
Yeah.
Or it can. It doesn't for me. Obviously, I'm a master, but no, it does all the time. That many variables, it can become an issue. And so, yeah, I very much like – it seems like out of laziness, but I don't know. I like shooting with one light. All right, so have a look at mine. It's funny that we both shot selfies this week.
Yes, we did.
I don't know why you decided to shoot an inferior one, but other than that – I was actually in the same boat as you. I was like, I need a portrait. Nobody's around, and so it turns into a selfie. And very similar sort of technique in terms of the tech part of it, but the Nik, that was different. That was I shot a very different looking photo, but on that basis, go.
So is this the new camera? I'm guessing it is.
Yeah, I kind of made a sort of a – I didn't declare it on the show, but – for the next little while, all my unless otherwise specified, like if I need to shoot something like with a long focal length, I'm going to shoot everything with that new camera because I'm still learning.
Okay, and so this is the one light is this obviously it's short lighting, right? So that one light is going to be whereabouts is this is light is up and camera right. So with I'm going to say it looks pretty soft light, so I'm going to say use the Cheetah Stand softbox as well.
Umbrella. Umbrella, just for portability. Yeah. It was, I had to go for a little hike to get out of the field. It was snowing, and I kind of wanted to – so I wanted to get the shot in the snow. And so had to go for a little hike with that. Didn't really want to pack everything as I was by myself. And so in that respect – the little portable umbrella does the job just fine.
Okay. And other than that, I mean, it's good. I like it. It's, again, it's another blue light photo, but unlike the last one, this one to me is much more believable. I'm not sure exactly why, hard for me to verbalize, but even though you could make a case that says, okay, well, it's the same effect of cutout on the background, it doesn't look that way to me.
No, you're right. Maybe it's the snow. Like that's actual real snow that you see in the foreground.
Right. Yeah.
And then. Yeah, it's very similar. I think it's a half CTO, but it's in the umbrella this time. The shot of my son was, I didn't feel like carrying the umbrella.
Right. Maybe that was the difference. Yeah.
It could be.
But no, I like this. And again, I think the subtlety of the light is what I like. I mean, clearly to those photographers, I mean, I think we probably recognize this is probably lit. Like when you look closely at it.
Sure.
But it doesn't feel lit, like for some reason, whereas the one of your son to me just feels lit. This one doesn't feel lit. And it might be the umbrella. It might be the fact that you didn't go crazy with the flash. It's all pretty subtle here. And yeah, I mean, the background's there, but clearly this is a portrait. It's more about the subject than it is the background. The background doesn't take away anything from it. I think it adds to it, but it's just subdued. So no, this is good and believable, and yeah, just nice shot.
Well, thank you. I think the background, I think part of what works on this one, because I shot it this way. This was the secondary one. I originally envisioned shooting the other direction, which I did shoot, which is more trees and whatnot in the background and more, you know, and I thought, oh, that's the one I want. And then just didn't like it. And just, wasn't the thing. So I kind of wanted that more barren background. Like, because the background is pretty plain. I mean, that's essentially a cornfield in winter.
Right.
Which is kind of, ugh, you know. But because it's, you know, there's the snow on that part, and then there's parts that don't have snow. You know, like, and then it's just kind of a blah background. But what I like the best about the X100 here is that I shot this at 1/1000th of a second, okay, which is the maximum sync speed you can get and still shoot at f2.
Okay.
You can sync your flash at 1/4000th, but you need to be at f8.
Gotcha.
Just the nature of the physics behind how the leaf shutter works. So, but at 1/1000th of a second at ISO 100 and f2, and especially when it's overcast like this, because this is middle of the day. This is probably noon o'clock, and yeah, maybe 11. But regardless, it's the middle of the day, and it just kills the light.
Right.
And I didn't even have to. It's got a built-in ND9. So a three-stop ND filter is built into the camera that you can initiate if you want. I didn't even have to do that to kill all the light, but I could, which allows me to put the flash with a half CTO in the umbrella just out of frame on camera right, and still I bet you I'm shooting it at 1/16th or 1/8th power.
Okay.
In order to get that light. I mean, it's f2, essentially. F2 at 100, you're still good. The shutter speed just kills all the ambient and doesn't even have an effect on how much flash hits you.
And just from a technical aspect, too, one of the things I like that, you know, I don't think we do typically is, you know, this is shot from below. Like, this is below eye level looking up, which, yeah, you know, brings you up and above the horizon line and into that negative space. And then the light is coming the other direction. It's coming from sort of top down based on the shadow on your nose. And it just is a cool looking effect that I think we always think, oh, you know, you've got to kind of be eye level, or you be slightly above eye level and looking down, and you don't. And even, like, you know, you don't have what I like to call the gobbler, like the big double chin, which again, shooting from low to high sometimes really accentuates. But if you do the lighting top down, even if you did here, you mm-hmm. know, that kind of becomes shadow, and so you could still make a pleasing photo on someone that doesn't have a chiseled jawline like yourself by doing this exact same thing, right? So Once you're bringing light into the mix, I think you can sometimes, you know, ignore the typical rules that we sort of follow with portrait shooting.
Yeah, I was very conscious of where I put the horizon line in this. I wanted it to be in the lower third.
Right.
Just because I wanted, you know, for all the reasons you said. But I can see, again, this is way out of my comfort zone, besides being a selfie and doing the exact same thing you did, although I think I use a 10-second timer so I could psych myself up mentally for the for the image. But being able to look through and focus on your eye, like just by pushing on your eye, essentially, like tapping your eye on the screen, and the focus is perfect, you know, it like that is a game changer. This, besides that, shooting this, I would never shoot this shot with a 35 mil lens.
Right.
Never do it. And I now, like, I'm encouraged to shoot a lot more of this sort of style. I think we've talked about it every single week since I bought it. Maybe I'm justifying the price tag to myself.
Sure. Yeah.
Probably what's happening.
Yeah.
But no, I do love it for that reason. And also the kind of muted tones. I kind of, in Photoshop, I did a little move that I think we'll talk about in future episodes where I sort of mute those shadows a little bit just to kind of add that sort of hopefully a filmic look to it.
Okay.
All right. The topic this week, which we mostly covered, but we'll try to go over a little bit more in depth, is one light portrait. Now, You said why? Why? I mean, I just because you can shoot with 3-4 flashes, should you?
No.
Like, if you wanted to walk out today, what's the most number of lights that flashes, not continuous lighting? How many flashes could you fire off at once?
Say that again. So if I wanted to, how many flashes do I own?
You own and could trigger though, because I own. No, I could trigger all four. I can trigger all four at once.
I can do four. I can do four with the current setup that I have.
Okay. Same here. I have three.
Oh, but plus a studio strobe that's optical 5. I could do 5.
There you go. See, you're one better.
Yeah, I'm better than you.
You one-upped me. See, I can do 4. And so even though one of the lights is the shoe is broken, like I so I have to duct tape it to something, but I have, in terms of radio triggers, I have I still use the Paul Buff I've had for almost 10 years. I have 3 receivers for that, so all 3 will get fired off on that, which goes off the hot shoe. And then I have a 4th that I can go via the cable, via the PC sync cable. So I can do all 4. Doesn't mean you have to.
Right.
Now, the kicker is, it's very, very simple. It's not as simple as having no lights, of course. That's much simpler. But bringing one light to the party, I could not imagine shooting that selfie out there in the snow and the mud and all that stuff with multiple lights. I would have just forget it. I wouldn't bother.
Right.
Okay? So this is the case for a one-light portrait. Now, there's kind of a few different ways you can go about it. You can do what Adam did and make your light be the only light that's in the shot. Like, had that not fired, you would have just had a black frame.
Right. There's nothing. Yeah.
Right. And so now you have – now that's actually probably the most simple way to do this is to just shoot it as your own light. So you knock the ambient exposure down to nothing, which you would do inside relatively easy, probably ISO 100, shutter speed of 1/160th or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you said f2.8, but that should do it. That should be basically a black room.
Right.
And so now you have free reign. What do you, you know, what are you going to do with that light? Where are you going to place it? Are you going to modify it?
All good questions.
Yeah, that's the thing is you get to play around with that. Now you can change the look of your photo strictly by where you place that light, from above, from the side, you know, whichever it is, short lighting, as you mentioned, or broad lighting, which, P.S., I almost never broad light. I certainly never broad light myself,
okay.
especially when I'm going to shoot from underneath like that, like you said. Yeah. There's 0% chance I'm going to broad light. So for me, for a one light portrait, I am always looking to short light. Even whether it's hard, whether it's soft, it doesn't matter. That's just my move.
Okay.
Okay, so that's one way to do it. And the good news is you know, you can get dialed in with your black frame, and all the only variable you have to deal with is the flash power, which once you dial that in, you know, then as you move it around, if you move the flash closer or further away, but it's really quite simple to do. Now let's add to that, though. Let's say that wasn't enough. Maybe you wanted to sort of add a little dimension, and you bring in a reflector.
Okay.
That's also technically, so I don't know, when I said to you, hey, let's do a one light portrait, did you think only introducing one light, or it should only be one light, or one source?
I was looking at it more as one source, but okay. Again, yeah, I think that technically it would still be classified as a one light if you used a reflector, because that's not technically a light.
Right.
But I was just thinking, I was, for pure simplicity reasons, like that's the beauty of the one light portrait, is that, okay, bringing in reflectors and angling them and sometimes requires more help or maybe someone else or more light stands or blah, blah, blah. It's still an additional variable and complication.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it is, I mean, it's something you can do. And with a little bit of practice, you know, having it be your secondary light source, even though you're still using one light, you can still do it quite simply and get great results. So that's something I also recommend. Not in your shot. There's I don't know. You probably could have put a bounce underneath you, since you're lighting from up top. Yeah. You would have to kind of put the bounce right out of frame underneath you and lighting up. I don't see how that would have improved your photo.
No, if anything, I think it would lose some of the dramatic effect of it.
Yeah. Yeah, so in that case, I wouldn't do it. But typically, if you're going to do the Rembrandt lighting, and you have someone to help you, or a, you know, a C-stand or something, so you have that one light coming, you know, just from above on one side, and you have the bounce on the other side, sort of like a pancake effect, or like an Oreo sandwich, Oreo cookie, mm-hmm. then you're going to get you'll be able to use that one light to kind of come in and add a little definition, like sort of like a rim light. And gotcha. Maybe fill in the ear a little bit. Oftentimes what happens is the ear sort of disappears into the blackness, and you can kind of fill that in a little bit. Not always necessary, but kind of nice.
Sure.
And the last real main way to handle the one light is to do is what I did, is basically you're mixing ambient and with the flash. And that's obviously a little bit more complicated, but you can do it. No, okay. you Adam, you can do
I
it.
I can do it. Mix ambient and flash. Got it.
what it requires is there are a few more variables, but once you start taming them, once you start dialing them in. So when I shot my photo, I basically treated it as one exposure first, and that's the ambient. Right. And I dialed that in and said, okay, I'm going to get that dialed in. Always aware of my limitations. In this case, there were almost none in terms of sync speed. But when you're shooting with a different camera, you know, okay, well, as long as I keep, you know, the shutter speed under 1/200th, I'm going to be able to sync.
Right.
And then get your exposure dialed in to where you want it, like the background exposure. And with digital, that's the beauty part of digital, is that you can do it and see it in real time. Oh, that's how it's going to look. And then you introduce the flash. And then now you can quickly dial in, you know, how much flash you want. You know, maybe you just want like a little flick of light just to sort of hint it, or maybe you want to light the person right up. That's kind of the beauty of it. And that's when modifiers come in. As you saw with last week with my son, no modifier, not a very pleasing effect, even though he's a young kid. It just, like Adam said, it just sort of didn't register. It didn't feel right. Whereas, you know, you can go ahead and introduce the umbrella, or, and here's where I think the big thing is, and this is what I would say would be the big takeaway if you're going to mix ambient and flash. Pay attention to the color of your flash compared to the surroundings.
Right.
That's my favorite thing. I mean, I rarely do I go out to shoot with a flash without having my gels with me.
Okay.
And in this case, it's the half CTO. If you only get one, get a half CTO. It'll make your life a whole lot better. And lastly, obviously, this shot was done in cloudy conditions, so it didn't really matter in terms of which direction I was pointing. But if I'm going to mix sunshine with a flash, I generally try to put the subjects back to the sun, in that case, if I can. And that
so
way,
you're shooting into the sun?
Not well, hopefully not directly into the sun. Hopefully it's up above and to one side. So I'll kind of three-quarter backlight them with the sun.
Yeah.
And so that the sun will act as a rim light, and then the flash will be the key and light them up. And if it's really strong sunlight, it's not going to look great, probably. But with enough little, if it's a little off on the horizon, you're going to get a nice little rim light, and you'll get enough nice balance with your flash. You'll get great results from only using one light.
And foreseeably, it could be light that does exist based on, you know, maybe it's reflecting off of a wall or something nearby.
True. I mean, that's actually a whole different episode, is how to motivate light. And I'm a pretty big proponent of that. It's kind of comes from sort of like the cinema lighting angle, is that I always want to motivate light. I have an excuse for light to exist. It shouldn't just be, oh, well, this is on my subject now. This looks nice.
Right.
You know? All of a sudden, it's a red light. Red light in his face. You know, like, no, it's a brake light. It's got to be a brake light of a car, you know? That's what's going on. Like the scene from Goodfellas when they're burying the guy out in the woods. They have to light it.
Right.
And so Scorsese had him make it all red as if it's the tail. It's not the taillights, but that's kind of the motivation. Anyways, that's right. A whole different thing. Any questions about one light portraits?
No, go do it. Everybody.
Just do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have any questions, go ahead and fire them off to Adam at adamschwartz.ca.
Sure.
And he'll go ahead and answer them for you. All right, photo challenge for next week. There is none.
Yes.
Yeah. So already you tied.
Yeah.
That's because next week is the seventh installment of the Christmas episode.
Everybody's favorite.
The Christmas special, we call it. Sorry, not the Christmas episode. The Christmas special. It
is
everybody's favorite.
The one to miss if you're going to miss an episode this year.
We will talk about nothing photography. Kind of like tonight, actually.
Yeah, very similar.
Very similar to what we just did. monthly photo challenge for December, though, just a reminder, is holidays. And hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge on Instagram. And we will check that out. So, Adam, it's the last show before Christmas, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, Merry
Where
Christmas.
Can people find me? Oh, no.
I was going to say Merry Christmas to the family, and, you know, I'm going to Van Dusen. What are you doing?
Probably do that, and the typical kids' Christmas party that we do downtown that we crash, and, yeah, I think maybe the Christmas party. All those things, you know, that we always do. So I'll tell you about them after the fact.
That would be better.
Yeah. How about you guys?
The same.
Okay.
Well, no. Right. I mean, Christmas markets and ice skating and throwing rocks off the bridge. All the stuff we do in Germany.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah.
All right, then. That's enough for this week. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
And you can find my stuff at AlanAtridge.com, two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go find all the photos, the links, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.